Thanks, Dave. Good morning. The rumors are true. I am not Russ, but I play one in the pulpit. Russ Lynette, we love you. Please get better soon. Give me more notice next time. Let's go ahead and let's open up in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day that you made, this day full of your mercies. Thank you for the faithful gathering together, not to let the rain stop them. Lord, our hearts are with those that can't be here with the Browns being sick and the Nichols dealing with the passing of Randy's sister. And Lord, I want to lift up our church that is suffering in Afghanistan because of the actions and inactions of our nation. Show us the glory this brings to you in it. As in Jesus' name. All right. So, when in Rome, we're going to be in Romans today. I told you I prefer the King James Version last time, and that's exactly what we want to use. So, now, Romans is the sixth book of the Bible. It's right after the four Gospels and the book of Acts and the sixth book of the New Testament. Sixth book of the Bible would be Joshua. Come on. Where's Joshua? Joshua, come on, Joshua. Right. Anyways, but the New Testament would be Romans. Okay. It's only 16 chapters, so this shouldn't take too long. All right. So, this is another letter of Paul. This letter was written to the saints of Rome. And now, by the way, I only had yesterday to write this together, so I might not be making as much eye contact today as I would like to. So it was written to the saints of Rome. Romans were not Jews. They were Gentiles. The nicest way to define Gentile is one who is not a Jew. Common synonyms for Gentile are heathen and pagan. Jews had so much pride in their culture that they considered Gentiles as unclean, uncircumcised dogs, worthy of being shunned. An interesting side note, actually, Mormons have that same cultural pride, and they still refer to any non-Mormons as Gentiles. Now, when John the Baptist started his preaching, his first words were, "Repent, for the kingdom of God of heaven is at hand." And when Jesus started his preaching, his first words were, "The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel." Both Jesus and John the Baptizer were talking to Jews. The Jews had the cultural background to understand the gravity of the kingdom of God is at hand, as well as the implication of repent. Gentiles lacked the Jewish cultural reference needed to fully understand these messages. Paul must break it down for them, which is the reason the letter is the longest of all of Paul's epistles. This book has the strongest application for us because we are Gentiles. We do not have a Jewish upbringing. We have not been raised to memorize the Torah. So my message is going to be in Romans 15, verses 1 through 7. But before we jump to the message, we're going to briefly review all the chapters of Romans in order to get an appreciation for the foundation that leads us to the first part of Romans 15. Chapter 1 starts with Paul's greetings and his desire to visit Rome. After that, Paul starts to lay out the foundation by talking about how the just live by faith and God's wrath on unrighteousness. In Romans 2, Paul discusses God's righteous judgment, how the Jews are as guilty as the Gentiles, and how circumcision is of no avail. In Romans 3, he defends God's judgment, explains how all have sinned, and that God's righteousness is imputed through faith, and we cannot boast about it. In Romans 4, we learn Abraham is justified by faith, and that David celebrates the same truth. Abraham was justified before circumcision, and the promise that is granted through faith. Romans 5, we learn how faith triumphs in trouble, that Christ is in our place, how we have death in Adam and life in Christ. Romans 6, we see we are dead to sin and alive to God, our transition from slaves of sin to slaves of God. In Romans 7, he tells us that we are freed from the law, how sin takes advantage of the law, and that the law cannot save us from sin. By the time we are done with Romans chapter 8, we will understand how we are free from indwelling sin, how we have fellowship, how we have sonship through the Spirit, and our eventual transition from suffering to glory within God's everlasting love. At this point, We're only halfway through the book. At this intermission, Paul turns the focus onto Israel. Romans 9 outlines Israel's rejection of Christ, Israel's rejection and God's purpose, Israel's rejection and God's justice, and the present condition of Israel. Romans 10, we are shown how Israel needs the gospel, how Israel rejects the gospel. In Romans 11, we discover Israel's rejection is not total and Israel's rejection is not final. After three chapters on Israel, Paul starts to focus on the duties of Christians in Romans 12, such as being living sacrifices to God, serving God with our spiritual gifts, and being like a Christian, and behaving like a Christian. Every verse of chapter 12, all 21 of them, is a sermon unto itself. David once tried to do four sermons at once. Not to be outdone, I will try to do 21 sermons at once. Ushers, please lock the doors. I'm just kidding. Sit back down. All right, Romans 13, Paul addresses submitting to your government, loving your neighbor, and putting on Christ. I personally feel this chapter needs to be addressed as a congregation to help us prepare for a new church leadership. I almost focused on this chapter for my message, but then I realized there's a bigger issue to address. In Romans 14, Paul explains the law of liberty and the law of love. Chapter 14 is vital to understand the relationship between those that are weak in the faith and those that are strong. I would love to dive into this deeper with you. That is not part of today's message. Romans 15 is where we find the gist of the book, the climax of the message. Bearing one another's burdens, glorifying God together. This is where I'll focus my message. As soon as I finish the outline, because, you know, we're almost done, and my OCD needs closure. Chapter 15 goes on to conclude that the God of Israel is also the God of the Gentiles. Paul then discusses his travels from Jerusalem to Illyricum. Illyricum? Another city. And his plans to visit Rome. Romans 16 ends with a shout out to Phoebe, the sister delivering the message. Paul then greets 26 people by name, as well as their families and stuff. He adds a bit more doctrine on avoiding decisive people, and then he closes with greetings from eight of Paul's friends, and then the benediction. Now, when I read all those salutes by name, I was convicted. Let me demonstrate. I ask you all to close your eyes for a moment, please. Just close your eyes for a moment. Without looking around, can you picture everyone that is currently in attendance? Can you name them all by name? I'm not sure I can do that even with my eyes open. There's some people that just, you know, that's what's his name's wife, and that's what's her name's mom, and that's what's their name's child, you know. And I need to work on that. And that's why you might find me on occasion sitting somewhere where I don't normally sit. You know, just I want to get to know my fellow churchgoers better. Now that we have outlined the entire epistle of Paul to the Romans, let's read together the words of God. Next slide, please. Romans 15, 1 through 7. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. By all means, please, read with me. Romans 15, 1 through 7. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. For even Christ pleased not himself, but as written, the reproaches of them that reproached thee fell on me. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus, that ye may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wherefore receive ye one another, as Christ also received us to the glory of God. All right, let's dive into these verses. Number one, we then that are strong. Again, chapter 14 helps us better understand who is weak in the faith and who is strong. If you are not sure which one you are, I encourage you to use the law of liberty and the law of love found in chapter 14 to perform a self-evaluation as soon as this message is over. If you are sure where you are, I still encourage you to use chapter 14 to perform a self-evaluation to make sure you're right about your presumptions. Spoiler alert, whether you're weak or strong, you will learn that you still have responsibilities in how you are to treat others. Next part there, ought to bear the infirmities of the weak. If you are strong, you are free. As Barnes notes in the Bible puts it, you're free from doubts and perplexities. You know where you stand in Christ. And if you are free in Christ, you ought to become servants to the weak, just as Paul became a servant to Christ. If you are weak, you need to grow. You need to get into the Word daily. The Word is the bread of life. Let it be your daily bread. Might I suggest a simple daily regimen? No Bible, no breakfast. Okay, just try that. That should help. Now let's be clear here. The strong are to bear the iniquities of the weak in faith, not the dead in faith. This is not a call to please men. This is not a call to enable destructive behaviors. This is not a call to live by lies and affirm someone when they claim to identify as anything other than what God made them. This is a call to refrain from flaunting our freedoms with those that find it a stumbling block. This verse has been sorely neglected across America for the last 1.5 years. What are your thoughts on this? It's a rhetorical question, please don't answer. I will tell you my thoughts, though. I believe this piece of cloth over my face is a placebo. But I carry it with me because I meet people that are not comfortable around me without it. And I have no problem putting it on in order to make someone else comfortable because I care about them. COVID is a real thing. Russ is not here giving the message today because of it. Randy's sister is no longer alive because she didn't get help when she had it. Thanks to Simon back in February, I have the antibodies. I choose not to live in fear of COVID, and I am taking a chance. Others choose not to take a chance on COVID because of other health issues or because of concern for loved ones with health issues. This is a personal conscience issue. Neither side should judge the other on it. Neither side should force the other on it. Continuing on. And not to please ourselves. The author Steve Maxwell, not to be confused with the famous author John Maxwell, once said, if you find pleasure in entertainment, then your pleasure will always be limited by your income. But if you find pleasure in serving others, your pleasure is unlimited. Verse 2, let every one of us, this directive is for the strong and the weak, every one of us, okay? Please his neighbor for good. This reminds me of Romans 12:10, one of those mini sermons there. Be kindly affectionate one toward another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another. Prefer to serve one another. Take 1 hour out of your week, preferably an hour you might spend watching some TV series that you perhaps shouldn't be watching, and flip through your copy of the church directory. Find a name that you've not talked to in a while and give them a call. See how they're doing. Ask if there's anything you can pray for them about. Ask if there's anything you can do to help them through their issue. Prefer people over pleasure. The last part is to edification. The dictionary defines edification as the instruction or improvement of a person morally or intellectually. This means be the light. Be truth and love. Let them know you care about them, and let them know you care too much about them to not provide instruction or improvement on their morals or intellect when it is necessary. Verse 3, for even Christ pleased not himself. Christ came not to be served, but to serve, and we are to follow his example. But as it is written, the reproaches of them, the reproach of thee, fell on me. This is a direct reference to Psalm 69, verse 9. For the zeal of thine house has eaten me up, and the reproaches of them that reproach thee are fallen upon me. The psalmist was so in tune with the house of God that he took personal offenses as an attack on it. One thing we lack in our American society is a strong sense of family. Can you imagine if we loved one another so much that we took offense at the attack on the honor of another member? Well, raising my kids, if any one of them started to disrespect Stephanie, my immediate reply was, you do not talk to my wife like that. I never said you don't talk to your mother like that. You see, ladies and gentlemen, whether you're my child or not, you can say whatever you want to your mother, though God will hold you accountable. But you cannot say whatever you want to my wife, or I will hold you accountable. Now, if your mother happens to be my wife, then you better wait till I'm dead. Back when we were in the Air Force, before kids, Steph ended up moving to her second base ahead of me, and she was supposed to find an apartment and set it up by the time I got there and stuff. So when I was talking on her phone that night after she arrived and everything, and I asked her how her day went, she's crying her eyes out because they were putting her in the dorms with a single airman. She went to the first sergeant to get help, and instead of listening to her, he chews her out and sends her on his way. So I spent the rest of the night trying to console her and praying with her over the phone. The next morning, I found that first sergeant's phone number, and I got him on the phone, and I explained to him in no uncertain terms her side of the situation, and that he was in the wrong, and that he needs to make this right, and that if he ever made my wife cry again, I was going to find him when I arrived in a few months, and his rank meant nothing to me. I was a 3-striper at the time. This was a 6-stripe mass sergeant. So that night, I called staff, asked her how her day was. She said it was much better. She tells me how the first sergeant went and found her and apologized and helped her figure out the paperwork so she can start apartment hunting. And I'm just like, praise the Lord for answered prayers. That's amazing. It was a while before I told her my part in the change of his heart. Most men can understand my zeal for my wife. We are one flesh. To hurt her is to hurt me. What if we had that zeal for one another? Don't talk like that about my pastor. Don't talk like that about my elders. Don't talk like that about my Sunday school teacher. Don't talk like that about my worship team. Don't talk like that about my audiovisual team. Don't talk like that about my brothers and sisters in Christ. If you got a problem with them, you go to them. You win back. You win your brother back. If you do can't resolve it, you take it to the elders. If you still can't resolve, the elders elevate to the church. You follow the steps outlined in Matthew 18 to restore the body. I'm not advocating an environment that we allow sin to fester. We are not going to be covering up illegal activities. Love covers a multitude of sins by addressing the sin in love with the sinner, not by ignoring it. I'm advocating for unity. It requires my honor to be affected by the honor of others. And to realize that compromising my honor will negatively affect others. If I was to be unfaithful to my wife, that would bring shame upon me and on her and my children. And the elders have allowed me to speak for you. And on my Sunday school class, and the brothers that have gone out witnessing with me, and on my God. The more plugged in we are with each other, the more reasons we must think twice before giving in to temptation. We're almost halfway through. Verse 4. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning. By show of hands here, who has memorized at least 100 Bible verses? 300? If you memorize 311 Bible verses, you have memorized 1% of the Bible. God's word was written for our learning. So please start learning it. Use the Bible memory app. It's amazing. It turns into a game. It's fun. That's the only way I've been able to knock out as many as I have. So that we, through patience and comfort of the scripture, the word of God is a love letter to us. If you wrote love letters to the one you love and they didn't read them, would you think that they love you back? You ingest his word and you will have patience. You obey his commands and you will be comforted in any storm. You will know how to be still and know that he is God. Might have hope. If you're lacking patience, comfort, hope, don't keep that to yourself. Talk to an elder. Take it to a Sunday school teacher. Take it to someone in this body that will pray for you. Verse 5. Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus. Let's go. Once we hide his word within our hearts to the point that we are filled with gifts of patience and consolation, he will grant us be like-minded one toward another. When this happens, it's a whole new level of fellowship. Verse 6, that ye may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. There it is. This is the why. This is why we should be a vibrant church, to glorify God in unison. In heaven, those that love God will spend an eternity praising his name. That is what we see in the book of Revelation. With one mind and one voice, we will praise his beautiful name. We will never get tired of it. It will be our greatest joy. It's about him. It has all been about him. It will always be about him. Don't you see? If we can unlock this achievement of like-mindedness, we can experience heaven on earth. We can experience it right here amongst this body of believers. God will grant us a glimpse of heaven, of the splendor of being in the presence of his majesty. That is why we should strive to be a vibrant church. That is the whole point of the book of Romans. That is why we need to understand our relationship with sin in the first 8 chapters. That is why we need to follow chapter 12 and how to live. That is why we need to respect authority and love our neighbor and put on Christ in chapter 13. That is why we need to understand the relationship between the strong believer and the weak believer in chapter 14. So we can bring God glory together. The question I have for you is that enough for you? Do you value the opportunity to get a head start on your eternity with him? Or is your choice of entertainment more appealing to you? Would you rather finish your leisure time project instead of investing time in the growth of your brothers and sisters? Do you lack zeal for the things of God? If you answer yes to any of these, repent. Repent. Seek the Lord while you still be found. If you're not in love with the idea of being like-minded one toward another now, so that you can glorify God with one mind and one mouth, then heaven is not going to be heavenly for you, in which case, heaven might not be for you. Verse 7, wherefore receive ye one another, as Christ also received us to the glory of God. This is the final wherefore in the book. This is the conclusion statement. If Christ has received you, then you need to receive one another. You need to strive to be like-minded. I heard on a podcast recently, Jesus' love language is obedience. If you say you love Jesus and you aren't doing what he says, he's not feeling the love. You are not feeling his love tank. I remember once when we were doing yard work in front of our house, my oldest wasn't that all into it. Then she saw the old lady across the street out in her front yard pulling these purple flower weeds out. And she asked if she can go help her out. So I'm like, I went out to that, we need to fix our yard first before we go help other people in their yard. The need to help others needs to start with the family. We had a sign out there that's at the end of the road that used to say, "There you are now entering your mission field." That sign should have been a lot closer. This is our mission field. If you were to equate our like-mindedness to a Couch to 5K fitness program, I don't think we've turned the TV off yet. We need to see each other more than just Sundays. We need to stop running out the door at the end of the closing prayer. In fact, that whole home group thing, that's what we need. You know, Steph and I, we can't afford to take the family out to eat every Sunday. It's the big family, I tell you. But we have decided to start communing with each other on Community Sunday, so we will, you know, join together on that. We need to pour into each other. We need to enable one another in our desires to serve God. If we invest in each other, we'll be able to better serve. Our ministries will thrive if we thrive. Our church will grow when our love for one another becomes contagious. They will know us by our love if we start to truly love one another. I ask all of you to take in everything that Pastor Bruce is sharing with us about the characteristics of a vibrant church. If you can't recall what he shared so far, go to our YouTube channel and watch them again. I believe God has sent him to show us how to get to where we want to be. I pray one day we will be like the church in Acts chapter 2. And all that believed were together and had all things common and sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their church daily such as should be saved. Join me in prayer. Heavenly Father, help us to be kindly affectionate one toward another in brotherly love. in honor, preferring one another, not slothful in business, but fervent in spirit, serving you, Lord, rejoicing with one another in hopes, patient with one another in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessities of saints and given to hospitality. In the name above all names, Jesus Christ. Amen.